Welcome back to We Know Nothing and our second edition of our rom-com breakdown. I'm very excited, if you can't tell from my voice. I know a lot of you are probably clued into our movie this week just by that intro song, but before we jump in, I wanted to say thanks to everyone who listened to the first episode, last week's 20th anniversary, the wedding planner, which, you know, the whole week has been all about J-Lo and Matthew. They even went live this week. I feel like I have something to do with it. I'm sure they had something on the docket already. But, you know, as J-Lo said, she is trying to keep the rom-com alive. And that's enough hope for me and enough motivation to just keep going with this podcast. Because if they want to keep it alive, maybe one day they're going to want to come on here and talk to me. I don't know. Before I introduce my next guest, the shock on his face at thinking that I was going to score J-Lo on my podcast 2 episodes in was pretty good. This week, after much deliberation on my part, because I'm very indecisive and I also have to be in a very specific mood for whatever rom-com I select, and I am really trying to keep it within, you know, when these movies premiered and stay close to the dates so we have some relevant timing, but like 20 plus years after the fact, I decided to cover the almost turn of the millennium classic. Is that, She's All That. And my guest, yet again, is the one, the only, and the easiest person for me to force to do this when I finally decide on an episode, Bill.
I mean, I gotta say that.
You didn't even say hello. People are gonna be shocked. You're so giddy. Like, no, you're so
you
giddy.
You wanted J-Lo, and when you couldn't get her, you picked me. So I'm second to J-Lo is pretty much the biggest compliment you've ever given me in the 5 years we've been together.
Wow, that's true. Wow, people are going, the first DM I'm gonna get is gonna be like, he didn't say hello. Like, Mr. Enthusiasm.
It's a rare day that you put me in J-Lo's stratosphere, so I'll...
Your face when I said, like, J-Lo's talking about rom-com, she wants to keep him alive, here I am doing, like, my due diligence. You did look at me like, oh, I knew you didn't live on Earth, but...
Oh, keep dreaming the good dream.
It's a big dream, but it's one I'm gonna keep for a little while. I'll be set in my way, set down soon enough. Okay, so tonight, first off, we're not drinking. Our sponsor this week is water. Not that the liquor companies are sponsoring me yet either. Again, I'm just really shooting high here. But we drank a lot this past weekend, and we're still trying to purge that. So water tonight is our drink of choice. And now I'd also like to, before we dive into the overarching, you know, the background behind the episode, or the episode, the movie, I do want to establish something right off the bat. I said this movie came out in 1999. Do you know what I'm going to ask you?
What grade was I in?
Yeah. How old were you and how old was I?
It depends on what part of 99 it came out.
Well, it's January, and as I said, the 22nd anniversary is the 29th.
So January is the second half of the school year?
Well, Bill...
So I was in ninth grade?
How old were you?
How old were you in ninth grade? 14?
Well, you were young for...
Yeah, so 14.
Yeah, in 99, you were born in 84. So that's right.
Yeah.
You
I was in... Ninth,
you'll
well,
be 15.
So every year I graduated a school year, it
oh,
was
right.
that year. And
you like to say that, yeah, yeah.
That's why I was trying to figure out when in 99 it came out, so I could figure out how old I was.
So the 9 didn't tip you off? You're the one.
If it was
with
the
that.
First half of the school year, that would have been 10th grade because New Year's is always splits the school year.
Right.
That's why I asked what part of the year. Anyway, I was in 9th grade.
Okay.
I'm 14 years old.
You were 14 and I was 8.
It's gross.
7.
Great.
No, 8. Yeah. No, I was 7, almost 8. Yeah. So that's. Just a little background there. It's a game I like to play anytime we're kind of in that 90s sphere. Or, like, if I know Bill was in high school and partying and stuff, I do like to be like, I was 11. So, I just think it's a funny trick. Okay. Moving on. You didn't like that one. So. Hold on. Okay. She's All That. Sorry. I think That's so funny. I hope other people do too. You really enjoyed J-Lo much more than me giving our ages.
I mean, when you make me think about when I was 14, you were 8, that feels
weird. Well, I'm not 8 now.
I know that now, but I don't want to think of you as an 8-year-old.
Well, I was adorable. You wouldn't have hit on an 8-year-old. I know that. I wasn't trying to say Bill was trying to get with me when I was 8. Like, I just like to show how much younger I am. You're almost 40, and I'll never be 30.
That's fair.
That's what we're going with. All right. She's All That. The 1999 classic, January 29th, 1999, was the premiere date, so 22 years old. We missed the 20th anniversary, guys, but still a big, you know, big moment. High school hotshot Zach Seiler is the envy of his peers, but his popularity declines sharply when his cheerleader girlfriend, Taylor, leaves him for sleazy reality television star Brock Hudson. Desperate to revive his fading reputation, Seiler agrees to a seemingly impossible challenge. He has 6 weeks to gain the trust of a nerdy outcast, Lainey Boggs, and help her become the school's next prom queen. I read that one good, too.
You did well on that
I got really into the story, the plot. The story description. No, I just posted it, and I hadn't read it once through, so I was a little nervous. Seiler doesn't read like Seiler. It looks like Sillier.
Well, I didn't think he spelled his last name with an S anyway until the end of the movie when they're going through all the friends who coincidentally all
S's. Three.
I guess if you're always, like, in a row growing up, you just end up being friends, right?
What? No. Absolutely not.
Anyway, I thought his last name started with a Z, so that's why I thought it was weird they started the graduation ceremony.
First name is Zach.
Yeah, I know that too. Yeah. I thought he was like a Z.
Oh, Seiler.
I thought it was Seiler.
Seiler.
Right, I understand that now after having had watched the movie.
Oh, okay. I mean, it always sounded like Seiler. It is directed by Robert Iskov. I don't know how to say that. Who also directed Brandy's Cinderella. Whitney Houston, and I think, I'm pretty sure Whitney to Justin is also in his repertoire, so, or not Whitney to Justin, what was the,
From
Kelly to Justin, yeah, so he is a kind of a plethora of films. The screenplay is by R. Lee Fleming Jr., and he's also doing the screenplay for the remake He's All That, which I think is pretty interesting, even though everything that you read about, when they've talked about a remake for a long time. When I was going through all this, like, it was like the 10-year anniversary, a lot of people brought up, could this exist again, would you do the story again, and he, I believe, was the one who kept saying, like, no it wouldn't make sense, but I guess when the screenplay came around, he was like, oh no, I will take the screenplay.
Yeah.
She's All That, which I said this while we were watching and I will explain it now, is a adaptation of the stage play Pygmalion. So that Pygmalion is based on Greek mythology. It's a king who created a statue of an ideal woman and then falls in love with his own creation, which I think is really interesting now to think about, because the idea is that he created Lainey Boggs, mm-hmm. which really Lainey was there to begin with. That's the quote you liked the most when Anna Paquin, his sister, says, like, the not new, not improved, but different Lainey Boggs. Right. Like,
I didn't realize that was Anna
Paquin. I know.
She's an X-Men.
We're going to get... Oh, God. Of course it had to be like a... She's in a lot. She's also in Almost Famous. That's what I think of her.
She was Rogue.
Pygmalion, which is interesting, is also the play that it's based on. Pygmalion became My Fair Lady. So My Fair Lady is Pygmalion pretty woman. Same idea.
Only like without the hooker.
Which is probably why they reference it at the end of the movie. Is because it is a Pygmalion adaptation. Mm-hmm. And also Duff, which is a great movie, and I invite you to be my guest on that episode.
I don't know about that one. Okay. I've never heard of it.
It's a more recent one. It's the little girl from... What is that movie? Michelle Pfeiffer, George Clooney.
Oh, One Fine Day.
One Fine Day.
That was a good movie.
The little girl, she's now...
The daughter?
Yeah, high school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting when I was reading through this. I did know that My Fair Lady and a lot of these movies, there's a lot of stuff, we've talked about this before. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but a lot of these movies, you think of, like, She's the Man is based on, like, a Shakespeare play. There's a lot of them that...
Clueless is based on a Shakespeare play.
I think Ten Things I Hate About You mm-hmm. is based on the same one as... Well, I don't know. Now I'm going to butcher it. But, you know, when we get to those movies, I will dive into those, whether they be Greek or mythology or Shakespearean. Yeah. This was also interesting, which I brought up also with the screenplay. I said to you, and you love a M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that's popped up a little bit. He is claimed to have ghostwritten for the script. Fleming, the main screenplay writer, has denied it. But on the Blu-ray commentary, the director confirmed Shyamalan was brought on in pre-production as a contributor. And after story points were added, he was there for the final rewrite. And he was the one who came up with the scene, I think, like the art scene when he goes and does like the hacky sack. And then also the dance at the end is an M. Night Shyamalan twist, which I think is funny.
No one saw coming.
No one saw that one coming. Reviews, the film reached number one at the box office its first week. This was another Super Bowl opening weekend, which I guess that shouldn't be shocking to me if we're looking at movies in January, February. Mm-hmm. It's going to maybe line up with that. But that was the same with The Wedding Planner. It earned $63 million. You know, I don't know if this is good or bad. Rotten Tomatoes, 41%. Not shocking. I think it's one of those now cult classics.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love some of the reviews always on Rotten Tomato are my favorite part of this. These weren't as great as some of the Wedding Planner ones. And I think the best ones I have are coming up on a... you know, Valentine's Day special episode, which probably is pretty obvious what the movie will be, but those are the best Rotten Tomatoes, and it just makes me look forward to all of them. This one has a few good ones, though. The dance stops eventually, and then those darn kids start talking again. Way to ruin the mood. I think that's funny that the dancing was this person's favorite part.
Oh, that was a review?
Mm-hmm. Roger Ebert suggested, to give the movie credit, it's as bored with the underlying plot as we are. Even the prom queen election is only a backdrop for more interesting material, and She's All That explores differences in class and style and peppers in its screenplay with funny little moments. It's not a great movie, but it has its moments, giving it a 2.5 out of 4. I feel like that makes sense, that how he's saying the whole prom queen election is technically the plot, like making her prom queen, but it's really so many more plot points that are not as overt.
Yeah.
The word I'm looking for.
I'm shocked Ebert gave that many words for a review for this type of movie.
Well, it was January. As we know, we've tried to find some January movies to cover. Maybe, like... There's not a ton. January is a light month, which we talked about. Bill was the genius. Not that I think these people were looking to hit award season with this, but... a lot of big movies, it seems, take January, February because they won't make the cut for awards. So they don't come out during that time. After like, you want to hit Christmas for a Christmas Day release. There's so many rom-coms in the back half of the year. And obviously, like, around Valentine's Day or spring releases. But January feels really light when I was trying to pick something.
Yeah, I mean, if this was number one at the box office, then clearly it wasn't up against a lot of competition.
Oh, I didn't look to see what it was up against. I'll do that next time. I don't think it was much. Audience score was a 55%. What score would you give it?
Like, on for being a movie or for being a rom-com?
I don't like when you did this last time, too, and... like, I'm not comparing it to Casablanca. I just think, do it in the rom-com sphere, because I think you'll give it a higher rating.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. On the scale of rom-coms, I would say this was in probably, like, the 80th percentile.
Oh, Jesus! You gave The Wedding Planner, like, a 50 last week.
I think I gave it a 34.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. No,
that movie was awful.
She's All That is, for me, it's a classic, like, for all the 90s reasons of it, but I would be more of like a high 60s, low 70s.
Yeah, but on like an overall movie profile.
I don't need to know your... Yeah, I don't need to know your score. I don't think it's... Yeah. There's not a... I mean, for me, there are a ton of rom-coms that on an overall movie score will rank high.
Right.
But this wouldn't be one that I'd fight for, so that's okay. Okay. The cast. That's where I want to start first, because I did not realize. I don't know how I missed so many. I knew a lot of these cameos, or I recognized a lot of the faces, like obviously Gabrielle Union. This was one of her earliest films, I'm pretty sure. I have some notes on all these people. I mean, Rachel Lee Cook obviously went on. They said when she auditioned, she didn't realize she had done something else before this, and that's how she got the audition, but didn't kind of know Hollywood. Like, you come in dressed up, done up, like ready to go. She came in super casual, didn't realize she was meeting with the directors. Her audition went so well, and she read so well for the part, that they cast her, which I also think it has to help that she wasn't super done up. Because yeah, the right. idea is, like, can you get there? Pygmalion is, like, they said they wanted someone they knew was beautiful so they could, like, you know, drag that down to revamp it and she'd be stunning. They already know she's stunning. But I feel like coming in kind of average, not even average, just, like, she wasn't done up to the nines.
Yeah.
Probably helped her.
For that role, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, like, I feel like it was more strategy than how she presented in the interviews, that it was, like, an accident.
She retired after this movie, huh? She never did anything.
I don't think she retired. She's going to be in the He's All That. She is going to be Addison Rae's mom.
Who's Addison Rae?
Addison Rae's the TikTok star that's been drafted. She's been cast as the... She's Zach Seiler. Like, so it's going to flip the roles in the remake that's coming out. And she'll be the popular one who revamps the guy.
Wait, and Lainey's going to be her mom?
Yeah.
As Lainey?
No, I don't think she's as Lainey.
Because then we'd find out if her and Zach
made That's it. What, yeah, I thought the same thing. It doesn't sound like he's cast. And I think that would be pretty shitty if Lainey and Zach were, like, talking with their kids. Or like, yeah, we met because dad was a shithole and made a bet. And then their daughter, whatever her name's going to be,
idolizes her father and goes and finds and her own bet.
Goes and is like, let's make a bet that I can turn you into.
That plot makes sense to me.
I think that's a little far-fetched, too coincidental. Like, I don't get that. But I wouldn't turn away from it. Like, I'm not excited about the Addison Rae of it all, but I am going to go see this in theaters.
Is Addison Rae not a good person, or...
No, she's just a TikTok star that somehow, like, fell into this acting role. I mean, she could be great in this. I hate to discredit her so quickly as I am, but I don't know. It just feels like she did some dances on TikTok, got 50 million followers, and they're trying to bring in that younger audience, which, smart on their part.
Yeah, I mean, 50 million people is a lot of people.
It's a lot. She's the second most followed, I think. Well, maybe not second most followed anymore, but she's one of the top five most followed people on TikTok. She went to, I'm going to butcher this and I'm going to get a ton of DMs, either USC or Southern, I don't know, a California school, went for a semester. I think she, like, rushed and people knew she was that girl who did TikToks or something. Like, she was not famous then yet. She dropped out after a semester to go live in one of the hype houses and now is, like, makes $5 million a year just on TikToks.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, no, it's definitely smart. And Kourtney Kardashian is somehow making a cameo in the movie because she's been hanging out with Addison, even though there's a drastic age difference there. But that's for the remake, which was later in my plot points, but just came up with Rachel Lee Cook.
Bounce around a little bit.
Yeah, it's all right. Paul Walker, RIP, as Dean Sampson. Freddie Prinze Jr. as Zach. He was, the director said Zach, the character, was much more of a jerk in the original script, but Prince is such a charmer, they decided to change him and make him a much sweeter guy. So you see that he's, a little douchey and a little cocky, but his heart is in the right place, which I do get that from Freddie Prinze Jr. Like, his Paul Walker was awful. A real
piece of shit.
Yeah. Right, like, he played that really, really well. So I wonder if they layered in a little more into Dean's stuff to make the whole, like, so you got that this is not a, you know, as a high schooler who just wanted to be made over watching all these movies, like, I was just waiting for a guy to make a bet to make me over. It's true. I couldn't do it myself. I would have loved to have been the lady box in this. Someone get me the prom and I had, you know, the closest prom race in history. That would have been a win for me. We didn't have a prom queen. I didn't go
to those. I don't think we had a prom queen.
Yeah, we had homecoming and sweetheart. I didn't go to those either. Well, I went to like one or two.
I don't know what a sweetheart is.
Like that was like the spring, like where the girls asked the guys. So we had homecoming, a spring thing, like which was sweetheart, like February or something, and then prom.
Oh.
For just juniors and seniors. Again, I only went to a few.
I don't think we had a junior prom, or if we did, I didn't go.
That makes sense for you.
Yeah.
Just out of choice, though, not out of...
Well, I'm not... You know, I'd have to wear a suit. Right. Pants.
Yeah, you're going to do at the wedding.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to figure that one out.
You are not untucking your shirt. It has to stay.
Oh, halfway down the aisle.
No, Bill, please. I can't talk about this, or people are going to think we're about to break up. This is, like, one of my big things. Okay, so... Oh, I was saying I wanted to be roommate in high school. Didn't happen, but here I am getting married, so I'm okay. I found my true love. Goodness. It's all right. Okay, other people. Brock Hudson, who he ended up being Shaggy in Scooby-Doo.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Lillard was in a bunch of things.
Matthew Lillard.
Sure.
Does he have a dad? No. Paul Lillard.
Definitely Matthew.
You were so confident. Kevin Pollak as Wayne Boggs, Lainey's dad. That's Joel's dad from Marvelous Miss Maisel. I didn't realize that. Usher, we all know that Usher's in this. Anna Paquin, that was a shocker for you. Mac, Mackenzie Seiler, who doesn't go to the school. It does bother me a little bit. He brings her as his date to prom. She goes to a private all-girls school, and we allude to that a few times, but I just, like, why doesn't she go to their high school? She's not in public?
I think that she might be, like, a rebellious child.
I think so.
Like, she gives that she vibe gives, off.
Right, but, like, I agree, but it just, I don't know. It never made sense to me when, like, a kid would go to public and then a sibling went to private. Like,
well, two of my sisters went to private school, and Katie went to, high school, I'm saying.
I know, but a lot, didn't you all switch at one point? That always kind of threw me off, the different high schools. For siblings. Unless it's like a boys and a girls school. But there's not too many high schools in my area besides.
Well, the one you live across the street from.
That's where I went.
Enormous.
That's where I went.
Yeah.
And that's my other thing about this. Well, let's get through the cast.
That high school could have fit both of the schools that I went. Like the Catholic school and the public school I went to.
How many kids were in your graduating class?
I don't fucking know.
Bill, you have
200?
I think you just threw a number out there.
I definitely just threw a number out there, but maybe less. I don't know. Does that sound like a lot?
That sounds like very, very little.
No,
mine was 500, and I think we were the smallest, like, ever at the time.
Oh, I think we had less than 1,000 kids in the school.
Oh, we had 2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they did, too, which I was a little... I guess I don't remember everyone from my high school class, but I was an observer, as we've established, so I feel like I definitely knew more of the names, but like they all act like they're like, it's Lainey, right? Like when Gabrielle Union's like,
oh yeah,
I'm like, wait, so even like, what about elementary school? Like, how did we miss each other this much? But in 3 weeks, here's Lainey Boggs like hitting the home run, like right at the end of school, like the last 3 weeks of the whole thing, or 6 weeks.
I mean I wouldn't be able to name random people in my high school. And when I was at high school, now I don't think I can name 10 people I graduated high school with.
I probably could do better than I think. Which, I mean, obviously I have an Instagram account dedicated to stalking celebrities, so I just think I liked
knowing. So you take it on more of a local level? Or?
I think I had a local level, just for myself. I wasn't gossiping with anybody else. I mean, I had friends, this sounds terrible, but I definitely knew people's shit, even back then. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm proud of that. I don't think, I'm not going to ask you to edit that out. I don't know how many people from my high school are listening to this anyway.
I know all your shit.
No, I mean, I don't know all of it, but, you know, I definitely was in the know, just not speaking to anybody.
Cool.
I sell myself short.
That's awesome.
Kieran Culkin. Kieran, is that sure. How you say it?
Oh.
Last night, I said, oh my God, Kieran Culkin was in this when I was writing this. And you go, that is how you say it. Like, you corrected how I was trying to. So, you did know how to say the Irish name Kieran last night.
I don't. No, I think you just did exactly what you just did.
No, I didn't talk my
way. Culkin, and I said that is how you say it.
Well, this time.
And now that you're asking me again, I'm thinking maybe I missed the part where I was wrong, and you're making fun of me for it.
No, I did not realize he was Simon Boggs. Now in the show Succession, Macaulay Culkin's little brother.
I've never seen it.
I was thinking Home Alone because I was talking about Macaulay Culkin.
I've seen Home Alone. I've never seen Succession.
Succession's really good. I mean, I only made it. I didn't make it through all of it, but it was good while I lasted.
You're just selling everything tonight.
Honestly, this is a patch
job. I
think
you have to do this with a glass of wine in your hand.
Yeah, last time though. Oh, here we go. Lil' Kim. That was the biggest shock for me. And I posted that on Instagram, and a lot of you also were shocked. Or you're like, yeah, this was before all the plastic surgery. They said she was famous at the time in this show. Like, she was kind of at the height of, or at least had an album come out. So all of the actors knew her. The director or the guy who wrote the screenplay, either one, didn't know. I don't know how she was cast, but he wasn't aware that she was this, like, big rapper. And he just thought she was this really sweet girl. And, like, she was so great on set, but he was always really surprised. Or Freddie Prinze Jr. said she arrived, like, dripping in diamonds every day. Like, she just get to set, and he's like, well, there's where all our budget went. Like, this money did we give our whole budget to get Lil' Kim here? Because they said she just rolled up every day, but was very lovely to work with.
Yeah.
They said Paul Walker was serious, but everyone had a crush on him. Not shocking. And Freddie Prinze Jr., everyone really liked. And Paul Walker, supposedly, he was up against somebody else. And Freddie Prinze Jr. knew the directors really wanted Paul Walker. He was up against a bigger name. Paul Walker was pretty new. He had done maybe Varsity Blues at this point, but hadn't done the Fast and the Furious movies. So he was kind of a no-name, or they were offering him less money. And Freddie Prinze Jr. kind of gave him a tip and was like, look, they really like you. Ask for more. So he helped him negotiate up, which I thought,
it's
cool.
Big move right there.
FPJ.
Yeah.
And then my last, this was probably the most fascinating part of this podcast, is just going to be Taylor Vaughn, but please keep listening. Taylor Vaughn, the actress Jodi Lynn O'Keefe, has gone on to do many things that it just boggles the mind. Before this, she was in Nash Bridges, the show Nash Bridges, and she played Don Johnson's daughter, but then she dated him. He was 47 at the time and she was 18. So I think they broke up right before this. Then she went on to date John Cusack for like 6 years. And there's a lot of like weird sources, like not like great articles, but saying that she really, really wanted him to propose, but he never was going to. But my favorite part is her career has taken an interesting turn and she is now a licensed bounty hunter. She does other things, but I just think, who would have thought when I was checking out, you know, Lil' Kim, Rachel Lee Cook, nope, Jodi Lynn O'Keefe is a bounty hunter now. She might be doing other work. I think she's done other things, but.
Where is she a bounty hunter?
I don't know. She's still practicing, I think it said. Oh, and then I didn't know his name, but the guy from West Wing, Dule, D-U-L-E. Everyone was talking about how he's in this also, and I didn't talk about much of that when I was recording, but I did recognize him, and he went on to do West Wing. Yeah. D-U-L-E with an accent, Hill. He was Preston in the movie. So
Preston.
Preston, Dean, and Zach. And he went on to do big things. And then Usher went on to do... I mean, it was a full cast here. Oh, and then there's a random from Milo Venta, whatever, from... he's now in What Is It? The movie, the show where everybody cries all the time. This Is Us. Yeah. He was one of the soccer players in the background.
Then Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I forgot my... Yeah, thank you. My Sarah Michelle Gellar fact. So Sarah Michelle Gellar was visiting Freddie Prinze Jr. They were friends at the time, not dating. She was visiting him on set, and the director said, like, would you be willing to, like, make a cameo or whatever? And she agreed, but she didn't want any speaking lines. So she's in the cafeteria when the brother is putting cracked pepper on everyone's food. And she just kind of nods. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was interesting. She didn't want speaking lines. I don't know if she just didn't want to be credited in the film or come in and, you know, make a big fuss. I don't know.
Yeah, she probably, I would guess she didn't want to be credited, right? Because that would be like an underneath role for her.
Oh, maybe.
So like to be in a movie and not be one of the top
bills. So you don't have a line, so you don't get screwed over.
Well, yeah, so you don't get credited for the film.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know the first thing about Hollywood, sure. But that's what I would guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good guess. I'm going to stick with it. Okay, so first off, chemistry-wise, I asked you this at the end, but overall, do you believe Zach and Lainey? Like, you said you think they last.
Yeah, I think they last.
You said that so convincingly when I asked you. I wish I had asked you, like, live here, because I think any other time I'm going to have you on this podcast, your first instinct is always going to be like, hell no, they didn't last.
Well, yeah, probably not.
But I think...
That's because, neither of them are really terrible people. Most of the people in these rom-com movies, at least one of them is just like a shitty human being. And yeah, I mean, he did kind of a shitty thing, but his friend was the real shitty one. Yeah. And also, probably a great soccer player, but he didn't get any athletic scholarships. He got all academic scholarships, which means he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a good brain. It's not like he's going to go
be... He could be a sociopath. He could be a smart sociopath.
Oh, he most certainly can. But yeah. I was thinking, like, he's not going to go to college and be an all-star and, like... bang chicks all night. Like, he's probably gonna go to a good grade school where he focuses on his studies and has a nerdy girlfriend that he likes a lot,
or he doesn't need to study to, and he has time. I mean, they were talking about, like, Dean says, like, in the locker room, he's like, man, maybe you're not scoring any goals because you haven't got any in a while. Like, they
because him and Taylor broke up,
right? But they were like, oh, is this like, this is Zach's place on the beach when they found Zach and Lainey there, and he's like, many a ladies have lost it here. Dean said that, like, about Zach. So I do think, like, I'd love
to... But that was Dean just trying to screw him over on the bet.
But do you think
so? He didn't want to win the bet.
Yes, I agree with that. But I do think, like, do we think Zach dated Zach and Taylor? They were each other's one and only until Brock came in?
Yeah, probably.
You think?
That's why they set it up.
I don't think so. Like... She doesn't seem like this sweet girl who just went on spring break and, like, went wild. Like, that...
No, but on the high school plane...
Yeah.
She reached her peak and had to stay there. She's just about reaching the peak of whatever her social society is.
So you think they dated through high school?
Yeah, because he brought her to the peak of popularity or whatever. Then they go to spring break and she finds a more worldly popular guy and goes for him. That's called something. I don't remember what it's called, but
climbing the ladder,
something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I do think, I'm not trying to argue that Zach's not a good guy. I see that he is, but I do think there's a little, like, you might be being kinder to Zach in this one. Like, you're like, he's a smart guy. He's got a lot of scholarships. Like, he's not going to be banging chicks in college. Like, he seems, like, really focused on his studies. Like, no, he did take the bet, and he did want to. He wasn't trying to get the hotel room like Dean was. I think we just have a great, like, a worse person, which was Dean. Like, I would love to see the original script. Like, how shitty was Zach supposed to be? Or did we shit him down and... Now we're comparing him to Dean, who was terrible.
Yeah, but the bet was just to make her prom queen. It wasn't like, hey, I bet you can find a girl and have her fall in love with you. So, like, what's the big deal?
Look, I didn't say there was a big deal. I wanted to be.
I don't think I don't think, like, the actual bet itself was all that immoral.
No, but then I guess then it was the feelings behind it are obviously
questioned.
Well, once
the feelings became involved, that's when he started running because he realized, shit, that's not what I signed up for. I don't want to fuck this girl over.
Yeah, but he also assumed she was just going with him to the prom. Like, he's kind of an asshole who, like his sister says, you know, you have to work for it. So even though he stopped talking to Lainey, he was like, we're not going to the prom together? And she's like, you didn't ask me. He asked me, and then he throws the bet out. Dean does.
So yeah, Dean fucked him on that one.
Yeah, Dean fucked him on all of it, but all he could have done was just told her. Like, he didn't seem bothered by, okay, I have to wear a soccer ball in front of my junk, like, walking, like, on stage, which, how no teacher stopped him, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
like, I don't, the bet wasn't like 10 grand, like a right. crazy number, or like, you can't go to Dartmouth and I can't, I don't know what could have been a crazy bet, but it just seemed like he could have put a stop to it. But then he might have lost her. But, like, did he think Dean was just never going to mention it? Dean hated him. Like, in that locker room, Dean was, like, he hates him.
Well, he was very jealous of him. Mm-hmm. But Zach wasn't, like, Mr. Badass either, though. He was a whiny little bitch who couldn't decide what college to go to.
Right, just because he thought his dad, like...
And it all comes out just because he doesn't want to have to make his own decisions.
Like, right, he blamed his dad, and his dad literally was like, no, that's not what it is, and walked out of the room. Like, I always remember that being a much more, like, significant, like, conversation with the dad, but no, he was just like... really sorry you feel that way, but that's like not it. Pick a school. Wait,
stop being a whiny little bitch and pick a fucking school.
This was really interesting. So his dad is Tim Matheson, who starred National Lampoon's Animal House, which I don't think I ever realized that was Tim Matheson. The story is, though, Zach doesn't want to go to his dad's alma mater, Dartmouth. His dad, played by Tim Matheson, who starred National Lampoon, which was partly inspired at the time of the film, the movie was inspired by Dartmouth. At the end of Animal House, Matheson is said to move to California and become a doctor. The dad is a doctor in the film who lives in California. Isn't that wild? Like, so it could just be, and he's like, you always want me not to make the mistakes you made or whatever, like, relive it through me. Those are the best days of my life. Like, I am sure Tim Matheson left Animal House and was like, this was the best ever. So I just thought that was an interesting tip. Tim Matheson, I always think of, though, for Yours, Mine, and Ours. He's the oldest son in the Lucille Ball, Henry Fonda, Yours, Mine, and Ours, which is the only one I acknowledge. And he is hot in it.
I understood about three words of what you just said.
Which words were confusing? Hot?
No, I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Yours, Mine, and Ours. I said it three times.
I don't know the movie.
It's a classic Lucille Ball, Henry Fonda. They, never heard of it. Lucille Ball has 8 children. Her husband has passed away, and Henry Fonda has 10.
So is his that like wife cheaper by the dozen?
No, they only have a dozen. These people have 18.
Oh.
And the dozen people had a dozen together.
Oh.
18 had them separately, and then they start dating.
It's like the Brady Bunch on steroids?
Yeah, and they get set up, and they don't want anyone who has kids, and then they start finding out the other one has kids, and they're like, well, it was nice knowing you. Like, we can't do this. But then they decide to anyway. We'll watch it.
I can't wait.
I love it. It's just...
I probably won't watch that one with
you. Oh, I think you probably will.
That doesn't sound enjoyable.
I think you'll probably watch it with me.
I don't know about that
one. I honestly, you know, we can pretend to fight about this, but you've watched everything else I want to. So I just won't make you watch it this week. Okay, so we think they're still together. We're a little divided on the shittiness of Zach. If I was tricked, I know I keep putting myself in the shoes of the girl who gets to become prom queen and gets made over, but if I had been tricked, but he still wanted me at the end, like, yeah, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna still, like, catch the soccer ball at the end of the movie, you know, because Dean then proved to be a shittier person.
Right.
At the end, like, trying to get with her.
And, like, it wasn't that big of a deal.
I mean, your trust is kind of broken. He didn't make a bet
to steal her virginity.
Right.
He made a bet to make her prom queen.
And like, he failed at that.
Yeah, but, like, hey, I'm going to try to give you self-confidence. Whatever.
Okay, if you positioned it to me like that afterwards, I would have been like, okay, fuck you. Like, if you were like, I was helping you.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's doing it for everyone.
What was he supposed to win? If he was Dean just supposed to also walk with a soccer ball?
Probably,
like, was it just the opposite? Like, what a stupid prize also. Or, like, losing. Like, the loser just has to do that. Like, put some money on the line.
I just realized after I said this, but that's kind of what Cruel Intentions was about, wasn't it? He had to take the girl's virginity and then she would sleep with him.
It's quite darker.
I mean, it's much darker, but it's basically the same movie.
This movie had dark undertones that I didn't remember. Like, in the beginning when Lainey's in art class and those mean girls are like, you know, all the artists, like Picasso, they're more famous in life after death, so maybe you should kill yourself. I was like, Jesus. There was a lot of scenes also with Taylor and Brock that I kind of wonder how much of this, because I didn't remember them saying that to her in the beginning. There was some Taylor and Brock, like, hooking up while they were watching Real World and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I've thought I had seen this movie a lot, but I wonder how much of it was just, like, the TV edited version.
Where she's not trying to go down on him?
Yeah, there's just a few scenes that I thought, I don't really remember this, or, yeah, like, a little too cruel. And, I mean, that's the stuff that I guess they're kind of saying is the overlying plots, like, just high school and the different classes and, like, how mean some of these people grow. It was very much about money. Like, it was rich and she was poor. But, like, the dad said, like, I have my own company, like, we have a house. Like,
yeah, but that's how they position...
A lot,
I mean,
of these,
that's how,
yeah,
they position Clueless, too, right? That she... That they lived in Beverly Hills and they would never go into the valley, and it was about being rich and shit.
Well, I think that was just one occasion she went to the valley and got mugged, but like...
The whole movie's about that. I'm just saying, no, California is usually, yeah, associated with,
I can't get
rich
into Clueless. People are going to be really upset when I cover that one because it makes me so mad. Like, you were very bothered. There were a few times when you were like, oh, this is... Like, child laws, like, they're not 18.
Oh, yeah,
18.
Well, the statutory rape,
yes,
that Brock and what her name is going,
right,
on
but
anyway.
She might be 18.
They're all drinking and driving everywhere. I mean,
that's all these movies, though.
They're all just boozing and getting in a car, okay, no matter where they are.
Which, like, for me would have been shocking watching this as someone who, like, didn't drink in high school, but you were this person. Like,
oh, yeah.
Partying it up. So the shock that you're having is confused. It seems misplaced, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I would have been like, oh my God, they're 16 and they're 30.
I didn't document a lot of it, though, like that.
Well, they don't know they're being filmed. Like, this wasn't, like, a Real World. Like, it's not... If we want to watch Laguna Beach, that is, like, the solo cups and drinking out of water bottles. I was like, oh, shit. Now when you watch that back, they're definitely sneaking it around the camera crews.
Yeah, right.
This wasn't a, you know, documentary that they all just kind of got caught in. It was a movie, so the cameras technically weren't there. It's just what... Like, you weren't flaunting it like that. Or, well, and that's what I wanted to bring up. Yes, I got there. So, I like to look, especially, like, I did this with the wedding planner, and I just think it's interesting, too, with any of the high school movies, how old were they really? Like, the actors.
Oh, yeah.
Which, Gabrielle Union, it looks like, was the oldest at 20, I think she was 26 or 27. She was 27 when this was filmed. Then Taylor Vaughn and Zach were 22. Paul Walker was 18, I think. Lainey Boggs was 18 or 19. So it's just interesting. I thought that, I mean, I always think about that with these teen movies. Like, I think about that with The Kissing Booth or what's the other one? To All the Boys I Loved Before. Like, they're like 24 now, which makes sense. It's the same, like, you can't have 16-year-olds playing 16-year-olds and, like, have these kind of themes. Like, they're, like you said, child pornography,
yeah,
would come up and the police would be like, look, I don't care if you're an actor.
It's
this
weird.
Is a little extreme. But it's also, I don't know, this is, like, the whole thing. When you watch these movies and you're maybe, like, 13, going into high school and you're like, oh, wow, I've seen this movie, I've seen this one. You expect to walk into high school and see, like, a Zach Seiler. No one was as built up as, what's his name in this? Paul Walker. Paul Walker was huge in this movie. I don't even think Paul Walker...
Because he was like 23 years old.
He was 18. But I do think Paul Walker never was that big again. Like, I never remember thinking of him as that bulky. Like, he looked like a... Maybe because he just came from Varsity Blues. He was ripped from that. I don't know.
Could be.
I'm just thinking, like, of an athlete. Like, he looked...
I don't know anything he did outside of those two movies and then 9 Fast and the Furiouses.
He didn't do all 9.
What, I mean, 7?
He didn't make it to all 7.
What else has he done, though, that you could even think about?
Into the Blue. He was in this movie with Jessica Alba, which I can't watch because, like, they have sharks and...
Oh, yeah.
They're diving around for treasure and someone does die by a shark, so... And I don't fuck
Bummer.
With that. Yeah, but it's a good movie, him and Jessica Alba. I mean, it's not a good movie. I think Rotten Tomatoes probably gave it, like, a 13.
Was Jessica Alba the friend, the other friend in this movie?
No, she wasn't anybody. And not that, I mean, she could have been someone. Her name didn't come up. I mean, I had so many people to track on this.
She was in one of the movies that's like this movie.
She was?
I don't know. I don't remember, though.
Let's see. What else? Rachel Lee Cook, this is just some interesting facts. Her character's name is Lainey Boggs. It's a combination of two characters played by Winona Ryder because they thought Rachel Lee Cook really looked like Winona Ryder.
She was in Never Been Kissed.
I hate that movie. You shouldn't have said that. I'll be totally sidetracked. I'm saying that's who, you want to talk about statutory rape movies? Like, that teacher, that one is so bad, yeah, and we just never addressed that the teacher was hitting. Like, if I was Drew Barrymore, I'm not going to get into this because obviously I'm going to have to hit on this one. I feel so passionate about it coming up.
I feel like we talked about this movie on a podcast in the past.
We probably have because I watched.
Did you do like a Valentine's Day episode or something?
No, I think I just went on it. I think I rant about this. I think this is something that's come up before. Oh, maybe when we probably ranted about it because we did for March Madness, we did rom-coms.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly where we did it. Yeah.
I just didn't watch them all, like, right recently, so. As we can tell, anytime I do an iteration of this podcast, I try and make it about rom-coms. Let's hope this one sticks. What else? Oh, there was something else. Gabrielle Union plays a fellow senior classmate, and she's all that. Also released in 99. She played a sophomore in 10 Things I Hate About You. Oh, that's interesting. So she was supposed to be like 16 in one of the movies, 18 in another, but she was really 26 or 27. Interesting. Oh, that was a interesting fact. One of the executive producers on this, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh.
Yeah. And if we had a Shyamalan twist in some of these scenes, I guess Harvey Weinstein really wanted to include a sword fighting scene in this movie, and it finally they shut him down. But
I'm trying to think of what part you could involve a sword fight.
None. That's why there was a huge argument, and finally he gave it up. But then I think in another movie he tried to bring in a sword fight, another like high school.
Interesting.
Okay.
Sword fights and feet.
Yeah.
That's what he's into.
What else was I gonna say? What was your favorite scene? Or like you said, you liked the quote more. I mean, as like an actual good quote, you said when Anna Paquin says,
"Oh yeah, not yeah, right." I thought that was nice. That was a very genuine thing in that moment.
Yeah.
No, my favorite scene was at the falafel shop. The guy trying to order.
Oh, the big balls! All super sized balls. I like that. That's that guy's probably somebody too.
I mean, because they could have easily had that interaction between the two of them without having a customer trying to order, but just that they added that layer of comedy in, it was so unnecessary for that scene. It was hysterical. It was just out of place.
Kind of the better scenes. That's not, and I think her falafel, like, again, unnecessary, but it shows that how many activities she's doing, and she's working to help and whatever, and she wears that stupid hat that just makes any scene funny. I did think that scene, though, really annoyed me because Zach just walks in and, like, someone is ordering at the counter and he's like, "Lainey, hey, what's up?" Like, starting a conversation, this man, first of all, if I was the old man, I would have backhanded him, been like, "Okay, I think I'm ordering right now." But then Lainey was like, "Can you hold on 1 second?" It's like, okay, fire her. Is she the manager? Like, no one would have done that. So while that scene was funny, it just was so impractical to me. But it shows that Zach, that's kind of his evolution of just not being considerate, that he just, like, assumes, like, everyone should like him.
But also there's just, like, no, adult interference or any, like, when they were in the cafeteria and he made the two kids eat the pube pizza, like, that was a drawn-out moment. At some point, an adult would have come in and been like, "Listen, you can't..."
They put that scene in because they knew girls were going to want to go see this movie. It's a rom-com. So they put that Hoover It scene in for all the boyfriends because they felt like guys need a gross scene to, like, really be like, "Yeah, it wasn't that bad a movie."
It's like, fair.
But it wasn't, like, I didn't remember it when I was reading that fact. And when it came up, I was like, okay, like, that's disgusting. That guy just reaches in his pants and rips off some pubes. He doesn't even flinch.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just get a good pinch.
What? Bill, you have to edit that out. I don't want to know what that's in reference to. Ew. No, it makes no sense. I don't know. You're right, though. There's no... The only parent is Tim Matheson coming in being like, also, where did he snoop? Like, he had slid them into something. Like, he didn't tear up the room. He goes, I know, he's going to just hide Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth. What you said is, like, throw in at least an Ohio State or something. Like,
right.
You got into every Ivy League. I know they said, like, he's the top 4%. I'm the... No, what?
Fourth highest GPA,
which, like... Okay.
Which is why he's not some, like, varsity douchebag.
No, he might still be. He just might be smart. Like, some people don't have to study to be smart. Some people do have to study to be smart. Some people just aren't smart. Like, some people are smart, but his athletic skills aren't taking him to the next level. I don't know about his athletic skills, because all we got is the one soccer scene that looks like a scrimmage, and they're playing in basketball jerseys. Yeah. It's very weird. I guess in California, we play in tank tops, or maybe it was the 90s. I don't know. But, like, that's the only reference we have to, like, he's a great soccer player. Like, maybe he's just on varsity because he's a senior.
Right.
Like, they're all ripped, to be fair. And also, all of them play soccer. I don't know. I guess maybe that's why they're all friends.
Well, they're the soccer team.
What?
Like, they're the soccer team. That's why they all hang out.
Right. I know. But, like, I guess... And, again, I wasn't cool, so I don't know. But I don't, like, I would think, like, the football guys would have been, is it a California thing?
I mean, California has some good football programs. I don't know particularly what this school's athletic program looks like. But
I don't either, because we just kind of...
soccer team is very good.
We just kind of threw in that they're soccer players, and they're also the coolest ones. But, like, were they good soccer players? Are any of them going to school for soccer? I wish one of them had, like, touted, like, this is a really good team.
Yeah.
It just, he just could have been someone who's on varsity because he was a freshman, then he was on.
Yeah.
He just moved up the ladder, like, because they let everyone make the team.
Could be.
Yeah. Which doesn't make him very cool.
Which leans more into my point.
That he's cool.
No, that he's kind of just like a nerd.
He's not a nerd! Zach Seiler is supposed to be, he does have a Letterman's jacket, which I guess if you're on varsity...
If he had $50, he gets a Letterman's jacket. You don't have to be, like, awarded that for being awesome.
I don't know. In the 90s, it feels like you
I had a Letterman's jacket because I paid the $50 for a Letterman's jacket.
But you were on varsity, too.
I was on varsity. I was a captain as well.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think my favorite scene, and I don't think I had noticed it before, and I don't have the full quote because I can't find it. It's not an easy... They have so many quotes in this movie, but they didn't rank this one, like, on all the lists. I really liked it, though. It was after the improv session, which that's just one of those scenes, like, good for them. I love that they're expressing themselves, whatever, but it just gives me secondhand embarrassment because I couldn't stand on stage. And, I mean, I guess I've, during my trivia, like, sang on stage.
Yeah.
I just...
You've commanded stages before.
Not really. It just...
Better than I ever have.
I guess I feel like it's to call Zach up there to play Hacky Sack, and he's just like, don't drop it. And then suddenly you're like, oh, shit, Zach's going through stuff. Like, he's really... You're trying to show the vulnerable side of Zach there. That's not my favorite scene. It's right after that when they're talking, and he says, you have beautiful eyes, and she's like, oh, you idiot, like, walks away. And she says, to the extent of, when the class president touches my face on a darkened street corner and compliments my eyes, it's the definition of a movement from the 1920s. It's surreal. And I thought, oh, wow, that just felt like, I don't know. For her character, that line really made sense that she would... I felt like she had a lot of really good lines that developed her and, like, what she's passionate about. And, like, well, when I watched this documentary on CNN, like... It wasn't a lot, but you got who Lainey was, and I think Rachel Lee Cook did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Freddie Prinze Jr., why does everyone have so three names in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
I think Zach and Freddie Prinze Jr., like, Freddie Prinze Jr. plays this role a lot. Like, this is who he is. Like, I feel like there are other people in this movie who've played different roles.
I mean, I can't think of a different role that he's ever played.
That's what I mean. I think that's interesting to think about. Like, this felt written for him.
Yeah.
Like...
So did Summer Catch.
That was just... That's the so only other 10 movie.
Things I Hate, or I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, I forgot that. Was that a book we had to read in school? I don't think you read that in school.
Right up there with the Mice and Men and Catcher in the Rye.
Why do I think
I Know
think
What You Did Last Summer.
No. I know that that's...
Was it even a book?
Yeah, it was a book. Oh. Anyway, I do remember him in that. But those are only the three movies I can think of with him. He kind of fell off the face of the earth for me. Both of them did. Think about that. I feel like Gabrielle Union of this movie, like Usher, definitely had a big career. I do think like Anna Paquin, like a lot of them had big names, and I know all their names. Lil' Kim, I know her name. I feel like Gabrielle Union is the most relevant. Like, she feels like she's had the most, like, stayed on top.
Didn't Anna Paquin win an Oscar? As a child for The Pianist?
Was it The Pianist?
I don't know. I think so.
I've never seen it.
I mean, she peaked at like age 8.
Yeah. No, she did.
Well, and then she was in that...
The Piano. The Pianist is a different movie. I was kind of...
She had a long-staying career in that vampire show that everyone likes on Showtime.
Yeah. And also Almost Famous. That's what I think of her the most from. I do think like... He's... I don't know. Her role felt... Like, she worked for it more. I don't feel like Freddie Prinze Jr. did much for this. Like, the role was just there, and he played Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, McConaughey, the shit out of it.
Nah, I think McConaughey's had some deeper roles.
I mean...
He's won Oscars, so...
Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. But also, I mean...
In the rom-com sphere, though, he plays McConaughey.
He puts McConaughey into the role. I think Freddie Prinze Jr. can only play this 19-year-old struggling with his inner demons, like falling in love high schooler or college student, Summer Catch.
Well, luckily his wife is loaded, so they're fine.
And they're still together, which I think, I wonder after this was filmed... I mean, I didn't get the timeline out of these two, but...
Oh, he was also in Scooby-Doo, that's right.
Oh.
With Matthew Lillard.
I was thinking his other name you gave him.
David Lillard.
Oh, he was in... What was that one?
I don't know. Down to You.
Down to You. That's a bad... That wasn't good. No, most he didn't do much. Good. No. Which he was like the big name on this. Which is just interesting, I feel like. Like, Freddie Prinze Jr. is...
He must have had something around that time, because...
Had something, what do you mean?
Like, he must have had to have had a movie or two.
Oh, well, his dad was famous. Oh, and that was something, too. His dad, the anniversary...
Oh, because he did I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. So he got big in
those two. He had done both
movies.
Of those already?
Yeah. And then She's All That came out right afterwards.
Where's Summer Catch?
A Ways Away.
What?
2001.
2 years later, he might have filmed it close to this. Huh.
And then the Scooby-Doos.
He really didn't do much.
No, apparently he was in a Star Wars movie recently, but I've never seen it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Rachel Lee Cook didn't do much. She did Josie and the Pussycats, which was a great flick.
That was not a great flick.
What?
That was, I mean,
can't
awful.
Can't you just pretend to be nice?
I can't believe that was a real movie.
It was not bad. I would put it in a cult classic category for different reasons. So, okay. Any final thoughts you'd like to share about the film? It was very 90s. You know, I think it's still obviously when I was listening to J-Lo and Matthew McConaughey just talk about rom-coms in general, and theirs came out in 2001, the one we listened to last, Wedding Planner. He said, like, they were kind of at the tail end of rom-coms, which is interesting because he had a couple that came out after that, so yeah. He didn't acknowledge. I do think I would say this falls into it's just different categories when you're talking about, you know, 90s rom-coms. I do think of a You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle. this one feels like a 2000s rom-com. It's just on the cusp enough that I know it's 99. If you asked me before I even was researching this, I would have been like, it's definitely not 2000s, but it feels like it's right there. And then it also falls in a whole different category because I think the high school ones all deal with something, a whole different level of something else, like acceptance and friendship and, you know, I just think they fall into different buckets, but this one feels more 2000s to me.
This one, I think, came out right around the time Can't Hardly Wait came out, and I always associate these two movies
together. Can't Hardly Wait was who?
Jennifer Love Hewitt. In a phenomenal role.
Okay, I can't think of what it is, so I'm going to disagree.
Can't Hardly Wait?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll watch that. I'll watch that one just for fun. That movie was, I'm shocked you've never seen that one.
In 98. Yeah. It doesn't, it's not popping out at me, guys.
Oh, we'll watch it. You'll enjoy it.
Is it a rom-com?
Oh, yeah.
Are you just saying that?
No, and I'm not saying
that. Is there just rom in the com?
No, I'm telling you, okay. It reminds me of this movie. If you think that this movie's a rom-com, then it reminds me of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is more of a teen flick than a rom-com.
That's what I was trying to say earlier, a high school teen flick.
Yeah.
But this also feels older just because I don't know. Because I feel like 90s ones, how you were saying earlier, like, they were drinking, they were partying, there was definitely sex, there was, like, crazy bullying. Like, I think you kind of tailored away from some of that for a while, as time went on, because that felt a little extreme to portray high schoolers that way, even though that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, these feel like adults who are just trapped in a high school.
Right.
Oh, that was what I was going to say, too. That was the one point I wanted to make. Her transformation, the Pygmalion of it all. She just had bad fake extensions that they chopped off. You could see the whole time her hair was going to be short. And they put some red lipstick on her.
And took her glasses off.
They took her glasses off, which is the huge transformation.
And not another teen movie parodied this movie so well. I don't know if you've ever seen Not Another Teen Movie. It's a parody of all of the different movies in this you know, time frame.
Yeah.
So Varsity Blues, Can't Hardly Wait. Mm-hmm. This, and the whole thing is this plot, though.
Yeah.
And the big, like, reveal moment is them literally just taking her glasses off, and they're like, oh my god, she's beautiful. And, like, that was it.
But that is what...
Captain America played Freddie Prinze Jr. in it, too.
Oh, I think I have seen some of this, but I would watch that.
That was funny. I mean, it's a terrible movie, but it's a funny parody.
I don't think of this as a great one. I'd put Wedding Planner above this.
No, I would put this over Wedding Planner.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Wedding Planner was really terrible.
I can't agree with that at all. That actually...
That was just not...
That's hurting my feelings. That hurts
me. I don't have a good thing to say about that. I mean, J-Lo looked good. Like, Veronica Vaughn was in it. That's hot. That movie was awful, though.
I mean,
we don't have to talk about it here. We did a whole podcast.
I'm just thinking of, I felt like that movie had more LOL moments for me that I laughed. And don't say laughing out loud for the wrong reasons.
I was going to say it had more WTF moments than LOL moments.
I think there was definitely more of this, like, realistically, this all kind of happened. There wasn't anything that, like, jumped out at me like the other one. But... I don't know. I like this movie. I think I see it so much on TV that I kind of am familiar with a lot of these scenes, and they don't, like, when I watch some of these movies and I'm rewatching them during quarantine, it's been a few years and I've forgotten things. This movie doesn't have a lot of forgetful moments for me. I think it's pretty predictable in the storyline trajectory. Nothing shocks me of it. Nothing makes me think, like, wow, this really stood out screenplay-wise or dialogue-wise from how the story developed. Like,
well, the freestyle was kind of a fun treat.
Oh, when they rapped to She's All That?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I did forget that. That's where
the name of the movie comes from.
I did forget
that. That was a nice little interlude right there.
The real world, like, I forgot a lot of that, I'll say. Like,
even
when they did, like, him having the real world dream.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that there was so much of him watching himself on Real World. And I wonder how much of that, again, because I've watched this on E! Or something, like, how much was cut out for TV. I did like it. It's not my favorite teen flick. Like, I think it's, as I talk through it more, the score goes lower. Except that is a quintessential scene for me. Like, if we were to have to do 20 rom-com scenes, it'd be really hard for me to narrow it down. But in the conversation, it might not make the list, but her in the red dress coming down the stairs to kiss me, I think is just a really, like, well-timed with the music as they're waiting for Lainey Boggs, get your cute butt down here, and then how she turns, the camera panning up, and then the music cutting right when she falls. Like, I think that whole scene is just rom-com. Like, you don't need anything else. It's the music. Everything was done really, really well. That gets me excited. The rest of the story, like, okay, I think that storyline probably exists in so many movies, this bet or this side thing. Right. He's not in it for the right reasons, but, like, then he falls for. That doesn't shock me.
I mean, that's that's a literal, like, rom-com, almost all of them.
Not all. I mean, there was a bet in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but there was a double bet. Like, I feel like there's... And there's just funny anecdotes. I do feel like there's stuff. I'll be interested because it's the same guy writing the screenplay. How the personalities change. How dialogue change in high school. I just think there could have been more chuckles. Because it's funny that the funniest moment comes from that random guy in the falafel shop.
Yeah.
I think Fulton Reed was a funny character. I liked the brother and the dad. I don't think Lainey's supposed to make me laugh, so that's okay. And I just don't think Freddie Prinze Jr. I know is like the quintessential one of the like top high school like jock love interests, even though he's only done two. I feel like his list should be 30. Like when we just scrolled through his Wikipedia. Yeah. I'm shocked that he has so few movies because he seems at the top of the list and is the top of his game and, like, the big name you think of. But I don't... Maybe he just doesn't make my heart pitter-patter like some other rom-com leads. Other three names, like a Chad Michael Murray high school lead.
You need Chris Hemsworth in a rom-com.
You just ended with that just to make me upset because you know I've been asking for this. Chris Hemsworth is the rom-com lead we have been denied. It just makes me so mad. His humor, like, Liam doesn't have the humor of Chris. That is why I never thought Chris was the more attractive Hemsworth, because Liam is my age, and I watched Last Song, and yada yada. He's
fucking Thor.
Him as Thor is so funny. And he's hot, but he's funny. Like, all of the cast of the Marvel movies have that comedic timing, and I just don't think FPJ does, and that's upsetting to me. And I think I always knew this, actually, that he was not in my top 10 rom-com leads.
Chris?
No,
Freddie Prinze Jr.
He seems like he should be, but he's not, and I just don't think there's a lot behind the eyes there. And his hair sticks up really, really spiky. I know it's a 90s thing.
That's how it was. Yeah. See, that's what I think that he doesn't fall into your
because that category. Wasn't my high school.
Right. Yeah. He's everything he did is stuck early. In the late 90s, early 2000s. You're a little too young for that. His suit was
horrific, but...
Like, you probably liked Bieber's bowl cut.
I did not.
I'm sure you did.
Bieber's younger than me. Bieber came out. I wasn't drooling over Bieber. Like, height-wise alone, it just wasn't for me. I'm a tall lady.
All right, I don't know.
It's definitely, like, if you're looking for my... Peter Kavinsky, like, I know he came later and I'm 29. He's supposed to be 17 in those movies. But, like, he seems like Chad Michael Murray in Cinderella's Story.
I don't know who that is.
You're going to have to watch Cinderella's
I'm
Story
not
with me.
That one.
Why not?
That one doesn't sound enjoyable.
Cinderella Story?
Isn't that Lizzie McGuire?
Hilary Duff is
her name. I'm not a fan.
Why?
She just doesn't do it for me. For all the reasons you just said, you don't care about Freddie Prinze Jr.
Is it because she's a blonde?
No. Why would that matter? You used to be a blonde.
That was rude. And you told me before we were dating that you, like, preferred brunettes over blondes. you dated more brunettes.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to see if it tripped you up, but it didn't. You gave the right answer and then fucked it up by saying I used to be a blonde.
You did used to be a blonde.
I am a blonde. I paid a lot of money for this hair. I gotta go back. I'm going back and like, I gotta schedule an appointment. Don't look at my roots like that. That's so judgy. I don't look at your hair.
I'm not. You're just telling me that you're a blonde and I'm just
I am a blonde.
It's glistening in the Christmas lights behind you, so it looks blondish.
I think you're about to point out gray hairs. That's no, going to be what's upset. If my hair was down change. Right now.
Yeah, it's definitely blonde at the bottom.
It's blonde. You're insulting Megan, who does no, my hair. No,
it looked she great when she did it. That was how long ago at this point?
Like 2 months.
No, like 4 months.
It's not been 4 months. I went in like October or November.
Yeah. it's
been, no, I went in like right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like right a month before Thanksgiving.
Okay, final thoughts here. You say, out of the two we've watched, better than Wedding Date. I disagree.
Yeah, right now I would put this number one and Wedding Date number two, but in the full scope of things, they wouldn't be number one and two.
No, they'll fall. And you think they're still together?
I think they could still be together.
I think they could be too. They went to different colleges.
No, he said he was going to art school.
He was lying. Except that's also a very Freddie Prinze Jr. thing to say. Like, I feel like this guy doesn't know what he wants. And Rachel had, like, Lainey has a lot more direction. And I feel like he could, like, try and be an actor and think, like, he's clever enough to pull it off. And he's just as vain as Taylor Vaughn. In my eyes, I don't see him being worthy of Lainey Boggs. There's a lot of cute, redeeming qualities. He just feels very immature to me.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to grow up.
Right. And I think Lainey has been a grown-up for a long time. And I think it's only been a few weeks, and they kissed literally like an hour ago when we watched it. I think she'll catch on once she meets some real adult college men.
That's probably deeper than the director or writer ever thought anyone would.
No, I don't think so. I think they could have cast someone else as Freddie Prinze Jr. I just think we were on the height of... I think Freddie Prinze Jr. doesn't sell me on their love.
I think you're coming pretty hot at Freddie Prinze Jr. right now.
I think if people watch this, it's not on any platforms. We had to pay for it. But I think if you watch it for the 22nd anniversary... You kind of, I don't know, I don't see him as good enough for her. I like him in the movie. It's sweet. I hope they're still not together. And I'll be interested if in she's all that or he's all that. Maybe Lainey's with someone else and this is her daughter, but she tells the story of that douchebag Zach that in high cool. school and her daughter thinks like,
that might be my real dad, so right. I'm going to act like him.
I don't think she's going to play herself. It just doesn't make sense because yeah. I don't think she'd let her daughter do that. But I don't think they should have cast it like that, actually, as I'm thinking it through, because I think everyone's going to assume, well, that's Lainey Boggs, and this is
but also, well, I guess Can't Buy Me Love wasn't exactly a bet, but it was the opposite thing, where the popular girl and the losery guy, but he pays her to make
him Can't
popular.
Buy Me Love has, like, how many... iterations of that, because there's Drive Me Crazy, which is the same thing. Can't Buy Me Love, which is there's the Patrick Dempsey version, and then there's also the Mariah Carey's ex, Nick Cannon is in the other version. So but which is all the same movie as this.
Oh,
it's
totally.
Just except he's in on it. That's the difference. That's what it is. They
right, he's
paid,
paying.
Yeah, they're being right. paid to, and then he's like, okay, you make me cool.
Yeah.
And then they become too caught up in it. Lainey never got caught up in it, is the thing. Like, she went to the party and looked nice, but in a weekend, that's my whole issue. Lainey, like, leaves school, you know, on a Friday, goes home for the weekend, and Zach's like, hey, come to the beach with me on Saturday. She's like, fine. He bullies her into it. Then it's Saturday night, and she... is like, no, I'm not going to the party with you. And he's like, please come to the party with me. After she's just come out in her swimsuit. Now she goes to a party, suddenly has chopped off all her hair and is in a little red dress. So then Monday she shows up on campus and people were like, also news traveled so fast without social media or anything. Like,
well, they were all at that party.
Not all of them, because all the people who voted for Lainey.
A lot of people.
But all the people who voted for Lainey weren't at that party. All the people who were like, you go, girl. Like, they were really impressed. No, the rich kids did not let in the people in the prison club.
There was like 500 people at that party.
He didn't know all of them.
Exactly.
No.
They could be anyone in the school that he doesn't know because they don't roll with his crew.
Mm-mm. No, they weren't letting in. No, Lainey came with Zach. And that's how she said, I forgot why I came to things like this with people like you. And she's like, you think, what did Taylor say? She said something really shitty there and spilled the drink on her. Anyway. I don't remember what I was ending on. Freddie Prinze Jr. didn't tell me. Now that I've thought about it for over an hour. Yeah. When I watch Summer Catch, I'll probably feel differently. I liked him better in that.
But that's also, again, not really a rom-com. That's just like a teen flick almost. Except that one takes place at the Cape Cod Baseball League, so it's not teenagers.
But. It's a rom with scum.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's definitely, like, teen is the lowest or youngest tier of it. I mean, we're not talking, except for My Girl, which is
that's not a rom-com. That's not,
I'm just saying young romance. I'm just saying, like,
that's
romance.
That's not even romance.
She's in love with him.
They're friends. Yeah, they're like 9 years
old.
Yeah, but
she thinks she's in love with him. I'm just saying, like I guess Sister of the Traveling Pants is like one step lower. But even there in high school, I'm just saying, you keep being like, that's not even a rom-com. That's a teen flick. Like, teen flicks are part of the rom-com stratosphere. It's just different age groups. Just like, it's complicated. Are you going to boot Diane Keaton and Jack Nicklaus out of all this? Or It's Complicated is Meryl Streep, and because they're too old.
It's Complicated was also a terrible movie.
You, honestly, you can't say that on here, because that will get you canceled. It's not a bad movie.
As Good as It Gets was much better. Wait, what's the one with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt?
Not Helen Hunt, it's Diane Keaton.
No, what's the one with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt?
As Good as It Gets?
Yeah, that one's really good. What's the one with Keanu?
That's, I always do that. Not It's Complicated. Nicholson, Diane. Something's Gotta Give.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Oh,
It's Complicated
very good.
Was terrible.
It's not terrible.
I get those two confused a lot.
It's just the names. And I honestly, no one's going to judge us for that, because I think everyone, once you say one, you cannot think of the other, or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's
Complicated was good. Something's Gotta Give was good. It's Complicated was garbage.
No, It's Complicated is not garbage.
Oh, it was not good at all.
That is, as like Alec Baldwin, who's going through something right now, finding out his wife is not from Spain. Him and Meryl Streep in that movie have such great chemistry. You believe that she's back having an affair with her ex-husband.
Oh, I couldn't stand that movie.
Wow, I don't think you paid attention, actually. You fell asleep! Wait a second!
Yeah, because it was that bad.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, this was a late night. You didn't finish it at all. You've no basis on this. I remember now why I'm angry about this hot take from you.
Because it was that bad.
No. I'm fine that you like Something That's Gotta Give, which I also don't think you saw the whole thing of.
Pretty sure I saw a lot of it.
Okay. Well, you can be on that episode. All right. I can't close this. We just keep going on other tangents. So thanks again for listening, guys, to an episode of Vino Nothing, digesting these rom-coms that I thought I liked in the beginning, but my score has lowered. I'm giving it a 57.
Wow.
That's how much Freddie ruined this for me.
Brutal.
I'll give it a 63. I can't give that.
Yeah, it's not 63.
And you're an 80?
No, I said 80th percentile, but I'd give it like a 78. I'll come down a little bit after talking.
I think you should go lower.
No, just in the scope of rom-coms.
I think you're going to... We're going to revisit this score. I'm going to just jot it down in my head right here. And you're probably going to change it when you watch other rom-coms.
For anyone who didn't see, she actually did point to her head when she said my head right here, as if I didn't know where it was.
I like how you said, for anyone who didn't see, like a few people did peek through the podcast.
I don't know. The windows are open.
All right, guys. This has been great. Tune in next time for Vino Nothing.
Later.
Bye. Kiss me, beneath the milky twilight.